Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today, getting you ready for Eagles Saints Sunday afternoon. Football Sunday. Jets win last night. That game was kind of a stinker last night. 24-3. Patriots, they're pretty bad, Hugh.
Yeah. And they look pretty good at the beginning of the season.
Yep, that's
so
true.
So it's like people are like, hey, the Patriots might be for real. Okay.
I mean, that's why you can't. Week one.
Yeah.
Now they're.
And that's why you can't overreact.
Yeah.
Too much.
I will say, though, and it has been surprising to me how good he's looked. Aaron Rodgers looks like Aaron Rodgers. Like,
yeah. He's bounced back.
I didn't think he'd be able to come back looking like this after the Achilles, but he's moving around well. His accuracy is pinpoint, and if he plays like that, and say they get Haason Reddick back, I mean, that could be a Super Bowl team.
And they got blew out the first week of the season, 32-19.
They did?
By the 49ers.
Yep.
And now the 49ers, I'm just trying to get people perspective here.
You're raising people up today, Hugh.
No, I'm just saying, and it's like the 49ers are 1-1. So it's one of those things where, you know, they lost to the Vikings. The Vikings look like they might be world beaters. You know, everybody, the Minnesota Vikings, they look like they're going to be a pretty good team. They're 2-0. Minnesota Vikings play the Giants and the 49ers.
Yep.
But
now
all of a sudden.
The Niners are a good team.
The Niners are a good team. That's a good win. I'm not counting that. I'm not putting that in there. But the fact that they beat the Giants the first game of the season, you still don't know what this team is.
Yeah. No.
You know what I mean? You got the Texans this weekend, so we'll see what they're about. And, you know, the Packers. So coming up in the week after that. So we'll see.
It's going to be a fun week coming up. And we got Guess the Takes later in the show. We got some spicy ones. So we'll get to that later on. What are we going to be talking about on Monday? First, let's go back to the phones, though. Nick Sirianni, remember, coming up in about 5 minutes here. We will bring you that live right here on WIP. Let's go back to the phones, though. TR, what's up, TR? Yo, TR.
Let me get you on speaker. I'm sorry. One second.
All right, come on.
Sound like you dropped.
There we go, TR. Jeez.
My bad.
It's loud.
My bad. Yeah, I'm in my truck, man, driving. Listen, man, all that talking about how AJ this, AJ, nothing because of AJ, in my opinion, man. It's what happened to the next man up? You know, it's our coaching.
Well, the next man up is Britton Covey, TR.
Britton Covey was the next man up, dog.
There's a big drop off there.
Okay, that's fine, too. But we still got Goddard. We have our new running back. We have all these guys, man. We can't just say because we don't have one player that the whole team should implode, man. I don't think that's good. Like, that's nah.
And, wait, he might be the best player on the team, though, TR.
I know he's the best player, man, but all of us supposed to be good, too. I mean, yeah. I mean, our team is fine. This thing is a learning experience. This one game, Barkley's going to make sure when they run that play again, he catches before he starts to run. You know what I mean? I think Hurts is going to not throw the ball across his body when he's in trouble. I think just a learning experience. I'm not really worried about this one game. I'm glad it's out the way this one loss. I think we're going to pull things together. And I think just the coaching not using our pieces like they should. You know, we have God. We got all these good players, man. We're not using them, man. That's all. I don't think AJ is the wins everything. Real quick, Hugh, I forgot. I don't know if I mentioned this. But number 72 for USC is my nephew. His name is Elijah Page.
Okay.
He's a red shirt freshman. He's 6'8", 325, 18 years old. Check him out, number 72 for USC. Please try to get him an Eagle. If you know anybody, get him on the Eagles, man. He's killing it. He was killing it over the Pinnacle up in Phoenix in high school. Shut down a number one defensive player and up in Arizona. Whole 9 yards, man. So, yeah. But back to our team, we're fine, man. That was just a learning experience for us, man. I think everything will be great, man. I'm not sweating this that one loss.
All right, like the confidence, TR. Appreciate the call. TR's confident in
you. I mean, and TR, I got to tell you, I don't know anybody that can. He has to actually go through the draft.
Yeah.
You know, in a couple years. So if he's ready, you know, hopefully that'll be the case. But it's a process. It's a whole process that they've kind of been doing for a long ass time.
Yeah. It's not like you just snap your fingers and, hey,
so, hey, you're,
take him
you're
in the third
an
round.
Yeah. Can't do that.
Yeah. And good luck to him in his USC career.
Yeah. Good luck.
For sure.
Big dude.
Let's go to Donald and Chester. What's up, Donald?
Hey, fellas. How y'all been?
What's going on, man? How you been?
Oh, man, I'm chilling, but it's just that Hugh. Wait a minute. First of all, I got one thing I've been laughing at ever since. Did that guy compare Jalen Hurts to Mitchell Trubisky?
Yeah, that
Mitchell
was way
Trubisky
overboard.
Name came up. Yeah, his name came up.
Oh, man. I've been laughing about that the whole time. I couldn't believe he even said that.
Yeah, it happened.
Yeah, that's one. Even if you say all due respect, that's not gonna gonna work. I mean,
now you know, Hugh, bro, I want to believe you. You know what I'm saying, and what you're saying about Sunday, and I want to get on that. But man, that Shahid, you know, and that track star over there, him, you know, so we're loading up that box, bro. I'm like, I'm just like, you know, so I've already talked. Honestly, I already chalked it up as a loss for us, man. Because I just honestly up front, I just think it's unfair for Fangio. I think it's unfair because I think that Jalen Carter and probably Milton Williams are the only two at this that I got faith and confidence in. Everybody else, I'm with Seth, and that's hard. And that was a hard truth that he said about he just doesn't think that they can rush the passer. You know, and I just see it like that. And I'll make this one point before Sirianni comes in. I'm with the caller that just called. I just don't believe that Kellen Moore came into the season looking to get everybody involved. I know Dotson just got here, but there has to be a way to get all these guys involved. So just in case one person goes down, you know, it can still kind of keep on rolling. You know, so.
No, Donald, it's fair, and appreciate the call. And Hugh, I want to ask you something about Dotson, because we bring that up a lot. That's been brought up a lot this week, is Britton Covey's getting all these catches. Where's Jahan Dotson? Why isn't he involved? Is there a chance Jahan Dotson might just not be that good? I mean, the Commanders traded him for a reason.
I think that part of the issue is, for some people, is that they're saying that, you know, he has to get up to speed. He hasn't been here that long. I believe that if you want a player to play, you have to do as much as you possibly can to get him stuff that he's comfortable with, to get him out there on the field. Now, he was out there Monday. He's on the field. You mean to tell me you can't design plays for him? You can't say, okay, on this play, this one, and as simple as this, hey, we're throwing the ball to you on this play. This is what we want. This is the route we want you to run. That's simple. Just to see what he could do, get him comfortable, give him an opportunity. That's not that hard. That's not rocket science. Or, like I said, you don't always have to line Saquon up in the backfield. Now, I understand that on certain plays and certain things when it comes to rookies, it's a learning process, it's a learning curve, and there's not a lot that, you know, they probably not retaining all the offense. But like I said, give him a couple plays. Give him a couple plays. Give Shipley a couple plays. Let him just sit back there. I'm not saying hand him the football. Hell, he's a body on the field. Line him up in the backfield and put Saquon in the slot. Give him different looks. And I understand we're only in week three of the season, and that might be potentially on the plate. But you have to do stuff, I feel, to help your defense out as much as you possibly can. These guys stink up front right now. Well, and I do not like to use words like that when I describe defense or professional players. But right now they're not figuring it out. They don't have a clue yet.
Yeah, it's honest. And you know, it's gonna be really concerning if they can't find a way to get Dotson involved this week. Because you trade a third round pick for this guy. I mean, that is not nothing. That is a significant asset in the NFL. And if we're sitting here on Monday talking about Britton Covey has 5-6 more catches, and Jahan Dotson has like 2 targets.
That's going to be weird. That's going to be weird.
That's going to be a big problem. Find a way to get those guys involved. And, I mean, this should be the opportunity for him. I mean, the reason you traded for Jahan Dotson, more than being number 3, was this is his going to be his spot. If A.J. or Devontae go down, you know, he's got to step up and perform and be a part of the offense this week. Let's go to Rich in the Poconos. What's up, Rich?
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call off. Let me show speaker here. Hey, you, I got a quick story for you, really. You might appreciate it. I work up at ESU, East Stroudsburg. I do the chain gangs for the football team. And we had a lineman from last year.
Hang on, Rich. We'll get back to you. Nick Sirianni is taking the podium.
This is a really good offense for Derek Carr. You see that same way as a
yeah. offensive guy? Yeah, this is a – yeah, they've been explosive. They got good playmakers. Derek's playing really good. And again, a lot of respect for this offense and what they've done and, you know, these last 2 weeks. And so it's definitely going to be a challenge.
What happened, CJ?
Yeah, you know, he tweaked something yesterday. I won't get into the specifics, obviously, but, you know, we'll see how today goes.
Is there still a chance AJ plays on Sunday?
Yeah, well, again, we got some time. We'll see how today goes. We'll see how the rest of the, you know, we got today. We got a little bit of tomorrow before, and obviously Sunday before we can have to make that decision. And I know he's working. I know both guys are working their butts off to try to get back.
If CJ does play, he's an emotional player, obviously. This is, I imagine, an emotional situation for him going back there. What's the message to him?
Yeah, I love, my message always has been to him is I love his emotion. I love his energy. You know, and always use that. He's got such an awesome personality that always use that personality to bring people together. And so, you know, be yourself, have fun out there, show your emotion. Like, you know, I would be crazy to tell him not to show his emotion because I show my emotion. But show your emotion, do everything within the rules of the game. And, you know, because people feed off that. And so, again, love his energy and just his personality.
How have the players responded this week?
Yeah, I thought we've had a good week of practice. Obviously, we're not done yet. Yeah, big one today to go out there and have a good practice today. We had a good meetings this morning. We'll have a good walkthrough. But they've been great. Just ready to get back at it and go. And because we know that at the end of the day, all we can control is our habits, and our habits are what's going to be produce our results. So our habits have to be the exact same that they've been, and you know, any process that we have that hasn't been what we think is up to the standard, that's got to even raise too. So the guys have been great. We've had a good week of work.
Was there any curiosity to see how the team would respond to this early adversity? And if so, what did you learn about that?
Yeah, it wasn't like jumping on to getting a loss to figure out. But the curiosity was, you know, I think that happens in camp, right? You have good days in camp, you have bad days in camp. And so it was kind of like answered in that portion of it. So I think, again, we treat so many things, we treat everything like, you know, it's game. When we go out and practice, it's like game-like, right? And so those things are, you know, answered in the preseason. But naturally, right, the consequences of losing a regular season game. So, you know, it may be a little bit, but I think, again, like I said, guys have really responded well. You know, we're 1-1, and we're ready to go out there and play a good football team and get back out there on the field on Sunday. But we got to, you know, have a good practice today.
Cooper DeJean as far as his readiness to step in if he's needed?
Yeah, he continues to impress as he's out there as far as, you know, starting with his special teams abilities. He made a really good play in special teams. You guys weren't out there still, but made a really good play in special teams yesterday in practice that was showed in front of the team today. You know, he's really had some good reps with the defense. He gets reps with the defense, and he also gets reps on scout team. And so he's just, you know, I think he's been stringing together practice after practice after practice, and our confidence is continuing to grow in him because we know he's a good football player. And you know, I know he wants to be out there on the field and contributing to this team.
Nick, the decision to let Jalen address the team after the loss on Monday night, is that something you thought about in the offseason?
No, I think those things happen organically. And, you know, as Jalen, you know, what happens in those scenarios is, you know, Jalen, you know, while everyone's walking in the locker room, he got emotional himself and started to talk to everybody. And when he started to talk to everybody, it's like, man, this is exactly what you want to happen from the leaders on your football team. And really at the end of it, there wasn't anything for me to say because he said everything I would say. And he said it with great emotion and great care. And like, and so we, like I said, I just said, hey, let's take a knee. And that's something that I talk to these guys every single day, right? We have team meetings every day. We have, you know, I break down practice. Sometimes I just say, hey, that's after a practice too. Sometimes I say nothing and I say, you guys got it. Or sometimes I say something. And so like when the leaders on your football team are, and are preaching exactly the same things that you know and are your core values and are important to the football team, like that's like, that hits different. That even hits. That's awesome. That's the best thing that can happen. That's the best message that you have. Sometimes you do that in team meetings. Like, you know, if I feel like something that I'm saying is, I've said it a million times and I want them to hear it from another person's perspective. That's where you use video clips of, I don't know, I'll say Roger Clemens saying something. I don't know why the first person that's popped in my mind, Roger Clemens talking about the same thing. Or, you know, we talk about Connect. We've shown that Phillies video from the 93 Phillies team of those guys connecting and talk. So it's, that's just teaching, right? It's not always me talking. It's, you find different avenues to do it. And Jalen had an opportunity to do it. And he was awesome. Like, it just showed how good of a leader he was, or he is. And I just really appreciated what he said, and the team appreciated what he said, and it started the process of, hey, getting over that loss and going on to the next one.
Nick, Vic said yesterday that Zach Bond had never seen chop blocks before. Isn't that something that should have been addressed in practice or camp? Or
yeah, you do that. You do that in camp. You do that in practice. Now, I always talk about O-line, D-line, or full go, right? I always, even though you're not tackling to the ground, O-line, D-line, or full go, but we don't let them cut in practice for obvious reasons. Same thing with a tight end slicing back onto a defensive end. You wouldn't want that collision in practice, but you drill it and you try your best to make sure, just like you do with tackling drills, you know, even though you're not going to the ground, you're drilling it and trying to, you know, practice that. And so Bobby King has practiced that. Our defensive line, that happens to them too, that they continually to practice that. So you just got to find ways to drill it. Now, if it happens in a preseason game, you know, when Zach had some preseason reps, then that'd be, you know, another thing too. But, you know, he's drilled that. And Zach's played defensive end as well. It's different. It's a different block when a tight end's coming back to slice across, or an offensive line on quick game is coming out to cut you. But yeah, we've drilled that, and we definitely, even sometimes you drill things even more if you don't have a good game doing it. And he knows he got cut a couple times, so they obviously emphasized it even more the last couple days of practice.
Maybe that's a challenging place to play down there with the new center and right guard. How do you prepare for that?
Yeah, you just try to simulate it as much as you can. Just again, same thing as like the cut blocks, you try to simulate it, the tackling, you try to simulate it. So it'll be loud out there in practice. Today it's been loud, you know, our ears are ringing with, you know, from the crowd noise yesterday. And sometimes you try to even put it up a little bit loud. Like we have it up as loud as the speakers go, but to make it louder, sometimes you actually use, instead of music, use the crowd noise, which can become annoying, but that's, you know, that's what we've done. And so communicating, and being on the same page, and the noise is one of our keys to win this game. And that's really any time you're on the road, but especially in New Orleans. And so those are our key. That's just, again, like a rain game. You put water on the ball. You have periods with water on the ball. You do all those different things. It's the same thing in one of these environments. And we, you know, we've let it the noise be even louder, like, you know, in a game. It kind of goes like this, right? The noise is loud during the play, then it comes down a little bit, and then back loud. We've tried to keep it loud the whole time, so they're constantly having to communicate within that noise.
We saw you in the locker room the other day, which is atypical for you. I guess, what's your approach or philosophy with that?
I'm sorry, Zach.
We saw you in the locker room.
I was actually going around to ask a couple guys a question. My approach is usually that's their space. I don't go down there. There's a barbershop in there, though. I'll get a haircut in there. But that, and every once in a while, I might go play a game of ping pong with somebody. But that's their space to be together as a football team. The only time I go in there is if I know they're in there at a certain time, and I gotta ask somebody a question or talk to somebody about something. That's the only reason I was in there the other day.
All right. Thanks, folks.
All right. Well, that was Nick Sirianni. Some interesting things during his press conference there. anything specific that's for? Or no, just the whole thing there, Kyle.
Just him in general. Yeah. Like, no, he gets like, a haircut and ping pong. Yeah,
like, he's very relatable to me.
Yeah.
Just like a busy heel?
No, because of the fact that, you know, every now and then he speaks in stream of conscience. yes. which I do on a day-to-day basis. But I try to keep them short bursts. Exactly. And when he talks too long, it's like he gives us a lot of information as a head coach that we don't need.
Yeah, right. He gives us a lot. Like, I feel like the information we want, we don't get.
Yeah, and it kind of tends to rub people the wrong way.
Right. So you got to read between the lines a little bit with Nick.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but I get it because I have a tendency to do that, and I try to keep it as clear and concise as I possibly can. And I'm working on it.
I think you keep it clear and concise.
Yeah, but I do speak in my stream of conscience, though, because I will start one way, and then I will do a hard pivot. And then I'm like, wait a minute. We need to get back on topic. Yeah. So I get it. Yeah, Kyle, we got plenty of examples of that. Yeah.
They all crack me up every single time.